Thank you for downloading this episode of the Football Purist Podcast. For more episodes, go to www.footballpurist.com, and you can also find us at iTunes.
Welcome to another episode of the Purely Arsenal Podcast. You can probably tell by my voice that it's been an awful week for Arsenal, but I managed to get three guests on here, and got to give them full credit for coming on literally 5 minutes after the game just ended. So I've got Mark Harrison with me. How you doing, Mark?
Depressed. Yeah. Hello, Jack. How are you, mate? All right.
I'm ditto, mate. Ditto.
Yeah, extremely depressed here. What an absolute spot. League. I'm sure we'll discuss it in a sec, but no, very, very down, mate. Not good.
Absolutely. Also got Michael Harris with me. How you doing, Michael?
Bar humbug.
Happy Christmas to you too.
All right, Jack. How you doing?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. And I got Neil Shah with me. How you doing, Neil?
Can't find the arsenic. No pun intended.
Still going to win the quadruple, mate.
No, shall I? No, I think that's... Still on for the treble mathematically, aren't we? But no, I can't be positive today, sorry. Yeah, positivity is not part of my remit today, I'm afraid.
No, I understand completely. We just lost to Manchester City 2-1 after midweek. I'm sure all of you could all see it coming, because you know the way Arsenal are once they've lost a game, and it didn't feel like anything really had changed too much this season, despite some good performances leading up to this week. Mark, it's been an awful week for us, hasn't it, mate?
It has, yeah. It's been, it's just gone from bad to worse. I mean, the performances had a lot of similarities about them, in the lead in both games. We let a goal in unnecessarily, really, and then we just fold like a deck of cards. It's completely depressing, I mean, the Everton one, you can sort of kind of go, well, Everton put a good performance in one of his six games, and it's not an easy place to go, blah, 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 and they put it on us. But again, we made our own issues up there, people going missing again. And today you think, right, well, it can happen. One game, it can happen. Today's the day we've got to show up. And we get the perfect start, it couldn't have gone better. And then you feel the whole ground just stop. It was quiet. They were shitting themselves every single time we come forward. And what do? We just come off the gas. We come off the gas, right? Don't push our advantage. Don't finish the game. Don't have any kind of killer instinct whatsoever. All I saw Sanchez do was keep telling everyone to come up when he started to press. He starts to press and everyone's supposed to press with him, right? That's the idea of the game. So he starts to press, and then everyone just stands where they want to. Yeah. In two banks of four, hoping we can see it through for 78 minutes. It's fucking rubbish. And of course, as the game, as the half went on, City started to think, hold it a minute. We can have the ball, we can do what we want here. All we've got to try and do is get through them. Going 1-0 at half time, one nil up at half time. And, you think, right, second half, let's push on. And what do we do? That was probably the biggest, cowardice, gutless performance I've seen in an Arsenal shirt for years by all of them. I mean, I'm not being funny. I sit on here week after week praising Mesut Ozil. I have to say today, right, I could have strangled him. He was an absolute walking disgrace today. The level of commitment and effort he put in was absolute zero. And I do not understand it for the life of me. He was walking around most of the game. Didn't want to put his foot in. Didn't want to. Honestly, it was painful to watch. He was the outstanding poor player for us out of basically nine that were. And what happens? The ball goes up and he takes off the easy target again, doesn't he? Takes off Iwobi, because he's easy, isn't he? He's the only kid. He won't say anything. It's everything about it was absolutely disgraceful today. There was zero effort. And the thing that annoys me the most is that it tells you again, how many years have we watched this game? We've watched this same game over and over again. It's Groundhog Day every single year when we get in this position. And it is absolutely face-ripping. It really is. They were gutless out there, Jack. They had nothing. They had no spirit, no leadership. They had nothing to offer the second half. They just laid down and were kicked up the arse at random by a poor, poor Manchester City side who didn't even have a forward on the pitch and had a left-back playing centre-half and, quite frankly, were all over the place. And what do? We let them come back in it and lose the game. It is unbelievable. It's furious ain't the word, really. I'm just at a loss with them. I'm just at a loss because you know what it means. You know what it means for the season now. We all do. It is not good, I'm afraid.
No, just fed up. And so many question marks over the way we set up today, Michael, and it looked like both players were in two minds, like Mark just said. Alexis wants everyone to push on and everyone else thinking, we're going to sit back and play 10 men behind the ball almost. And we clearly didn't. I don't know why that's not talked through in the 5 days leading up to this game, but clearly it's not. It doesn't matter who we change, Michael, player-wise, etc. People are going to come back to the fact that the same old dodgy paper mache mentality is still sitting there, isn't it? And sum up your thoughts for this week, mate. It's just been terrible, isn't it?
It has, and echo absolutely. Second everything what Mark says. The disappointing thing for me was, as Mark touched on, the way we set out. Obviously we set out to look like we were trying to give them the ball, give them possession because they had the extra midfielder. They weren't playing with a striker. We get the goal, and then obviously Alexis is the one saying, push on. He can smell blood. It's almost like he can smell the blood. He wants to kill him off, but nobody else wants to. And I think it goes without saying he was the only one that was, who could walk off the pitch with his head held high. Everybody else and check as well to a certain point for the saves he'd done. His distribution wasn't the greatest, but it's watching it all over again. He's seeing the same things happen all over again, and we keep getting told different. Oh, it's going to be different this time. And everyone comes out with the same stuff about, yeah, the mentality's right this time, and we've learned from everything. And it's exactly the same thing as before. I just can't. It's just so depressing now. You're not angry anymore. There were times when you were angry when this happened, but you're not anymore. You're just more just like resigned to it. And I just don't see how where we go from here now, because we're 9 points behind Chelsea. There's a long way to go in the season, but today it's just killed me, really. Just took the wind out of myself. Just didn't believe that we would put a performance in like that after what we did on Tuesday. It's exactly the identical type of performance. I just don't know where we go from here, chap, to be fair.
Nah, me neither, mate. Me neither. Neil, you're very positive always, but hey, it's tough to see the light from those two performances, isn't it?
Really tough. I wasn't so. I saw a lot of people feeling very distraught after the game against Everton, as was I. I spoke to you, Jack, and I said I've never felt so numb in my life. I don't know why that game somehow really, as what Michael was saying, knocking the wind out of his sails. It happened to me after the Everton game, but I felt absolutely distraught. But then I thought, I was trying to sort of play devil's advocate with myself and thinking, look, it is just one game. We've had about three or four good games leading up to that one. It might just be a blip. And, as good as Chelsea are firing at the moment, they're going to drop points at some point, and hopefully we can capitulate when they do. If they do go ahead and win all their remaining games of the season, there's nothing we could do about it. Even if we had beaten Everton, we'd still have been 3 points behind. So I was trying to sort of, maybe a little bit of clutching at straws, but trying to play devil's advocate and thinking, well, look, if we can somehow get a good result, if that game taught the boys anything, they would have a reverse effect for them today, and they could maybe stand up and fight at least, and when we got the early goal, it started looking good. It thought, wow, they actually have decided that they're going to go on the front foot and take this game by the scruff of the neck and do a job for us. And then hopefully Everton would be a bit of a distant memory for us, even though it was 3 points drop. But no, after scoring and not, capitalising on what to all intents and purposes was a very weak City team, they were bereft of confidence. I feel as if the Arsenal boys did Pep's job for them by giving them the confidence to come back into the game, and now they're probably back in contention with the title. It's ridiculous. I don't think I've ever seen a case of where a team has done that for another team. It's just ridiculous. We just literally said, yeah, go on, take us apart. We're easy pickings. We give you the space. You're not even at full strength, but we're not taking advantage of that. And that's what we didn't do after scoring that first goal. I think we should have scored another one or two at least, just to sort of give the opposition some food for thought, but we didn't, and that's what we did. We let them back into the game early second half, as we saw, just a very tepid, very lackluster, no fight, almost as if they didn't care kind of attitude. And no, I can't find any positives at all, apart from, as the boys said, you know, Czech maybe, Alexis, and I thought Coughlin, you know, obviously he played as well as he ever could, and you can't really do much more, can you, than what he did? If the others aren't performing, if there's, you know, seven or eight other players not performing, what can you do on your own? It's very difficult. So I don't know, I'm waffling, and I don't know what else to say, but I'm just absolutely gutted, because we were looking good. And we were looking good, you know, leading up to the Everton game, and I just don't know what the hell's happened. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Huge frustrating thing for me is Everton and City, they are not good sides. They're not good sides at the moment at all. Yeah. Everton didn't do nothing midweek, and City, but it doesn't matter who we're playing against, does it, Mark? Because, you know, we started interesting. I thought we started really poorly today, actually, but then we got the goal, and it was a great goal, wasn't it? It was a brilliant goal, but that was pretty much the... It was almost like the reverse of Manchester United. We had our one brilliant moment in early on, and we had our one brilliant moment against Man U in the 89th minute, and that was basically it. We looked like we could do stuff going forward, but it never really quite happened. I felt like we could cut them open at will, but we didn't really want to do it. Like, it's so frustrating, Mark.
No, we didn't want to do it, and the more the game went on, the more evident that became. And it was, you know, and it shows you, it just gives you the mentality of the team. I mean, you know, if you've got someone on the rack, like we had them, you know, they were wobbling at 1-0 when that first goal went in, the stadium just went quiet. You know, even Gary Neville was alluding to it, that basically, you know, you can feel the fear in the fans when Arsenal come forward, those front three, four. You know, it was like, oh my God, they're going to score again. And the defenders were playing like that as well. You know, we had them there. We could have finished them. And then suddenly we just take the decision to just bank up two banks of four. It's baffling. It is completely baffling. You know, if you're on top of a team in anything, whatever you play, if you're playing 1-on-1, if you're playing 11v11, if you're on top of your opponent, you don't start going, I'll tell you what I do. I'll sit back and, you know, play defensive, and you know, you actually kill what's in front of you. You beat what's in front of you, right? You don't stop. And that's exactly what it's the strangest thing ever. If City were putting it on us straight after we scored, I could understand it. And you go, well, of course, there's a reaction. But there was no reaction. Their reaction was to shrink, right? So that's when you kill the game. The game is there. It should have been finished by half time. And we could have finished it. And that's what Alexis was saying. What the fuck are you all back there for? Get up, yeah. We can finish this off. Michael's right. He was smelling blood, because that's what he is. He's a winner. You know, he's a warrior. He wants that. He don't want to be fucking around 85 minutes hoping to get an equaliser. He wants the game done. He looks around. Everyone's 15 yards behind him in two lines. I mean, it's bizarre. And then suddenly City then realise this, don't they? They go, well, hold it a minute. Actually, you know, funny enough, they're letting us have the ball. We can have the ball. You know, we can do what we want. You know, let's get De Bruyne on the ball as much as we can. And all of a sudden, their belief starts to come back bit by bit by bit. It fucking drips into them. And then by half time, they've probably gone in, and the Guardiola's gone, we're not being funny. There ain't a lot of beat, is there? You know, get on top of them. You're on top of them now. All we need is a goal. We come out within a minute of the second half, right, with our lackluster fucking jog around attitude. A ball goes through, it's 1-1. And then all of a sudden, that's the end of the game. That you might as well have called it there and then. I mean, I said to you, didn't I? I messaged you and said, this is 2-1, 3-1. There's no other outcome now, I'm afraid. You know, and that's not me being clever. That's just me watching this year after year after year. And you have to point to the manager. You can't just say it to the team all the time. He can't motivate him anymore, Jack, can he? He can't motivate the team properly in the situations that matter. We've said it for year after year after year. This year again we went, you know, we're the fortitude of hope, aren't we, Arsenal fans? Because we went for it again. Yeah, this year we're a bit stronger minded. We've got Xhaka, you know, we've got this year could be, you know, we do that. Of course we do, because we're optimistic and we have got a good team. I mean, you could put all of them players in any other team in the league, they'd probably win things. You know, the fact of the matter is you've got to include Wenger in what's happened today. And Tuesday, it is not just the players. You know, he cannot motivate a team anymore like he used to. He cannot. His in-game management is poor. We didn't, you know, we didn't need to be taking off the kid on the left wing. You know, when we were down, when we looked like we're going to lose the game, and there's one bloke in the middle. So I know he's a superstar, but he was literally like he weren't there today. You know, it was so obvious. And these are the sort of things in the game that managers do now. You know, they're thinking about it minute by minute by minute. You know, he just sits there with fucking deadhead bold next to him, not murmuring, right? And that's how it all comes apart, because there's nothing coming from the bench to you know, not once is he up off the bench giving it to the players. All he wants to do is berate the fourth official and moan about decisions, right? Why is he not aiming it at the players? Why is someone on the pitch not aiming it at each other? It needed a captain on there today to galvanise people. There's none of that, mate. There's none of it. And when the chips are down, the fact of the matter is we fold like a deck of cards. We have done for the last 5 or 6 years, and it continues to this day. And that's with Ozil and Sanchez. It is face ripping. And something's got to change. Something's got to change, because it'll just carry on, boys. Just carry on.
Yeah. You can't argue with that. I mean, Gregor Lesnak, at Gregor93, I have a little bit of conversation with him yesterday. He comes, and you know, he makes a fair point, just like Mark does. Better players, same outcome every season, Wenger's fault, or what do you think? I mean, Michael, we've said on this podcast a lot this season that we felt we've kind of plugged all the gaps in the squad. You know, we've plugged all the gaps. We even felt like we brought in players that are a little bit mentally stronger, you know. But it's the same outcome, isn't it? Same outcome.
Yeah, the only time that we've really sort of delivered and stepped up to the plate was the Chelsea game. And it seems like that's going to be like the Man United game a couple of seasons ago, where that was the only game when we stepped up to the plate. And the rest of the time when we really were called upon to do something and to put in a performance, we couldn't do it. I mean, you Mark's right, absolutely right. You know, you've got to point the finger at Arsene as well as the players. Before the game, he said he was talking about the lethargy in the team being a bit tired because the close game of the Champions League, and you had the game against on the Saturday, and then you had Everton. Well, you know, and we all know that he didn't rotate as much, did he? He could have. We were all thinking he was going to probably make a few more changes, but he didn't. So that's on him, really. You can't moan about that when he's the one in charge and the squad is supposedly, you know, at the level where he can make three or four changes and the level's still there. I just can't get my head around how in two games in succession we've gone out like that, you know. And when that first, like when they equalised, you know, people just, you know, there were people like Gary Neville was saying on the telly, people were walking around, you know, people weren't tracking. The second goal, you know, I think Delmi, who sent us a question last week or the week before, he was talking about Koscielny, when he turned away and he turned away from a shot. And today he, you know, he went over to track Monreal when Sterling was coming in, and the effort he made to block that was just so half-hearted. It was like, we're not 3-1 down, we're not 5-1 down, mate. It's 1-1 right at this moment. It's 1-1. You know, if you get your body in the way, you get across there, and you know, you can stop a goal. But the way he went across and just lazily, just like, oh, all right, I'm gonna try and make an effort. And that's your captain. And we've been, you know, speaking so highly of him this season. But there's something wrong there where those players have come out again in the second half and performed like that, and they just look so disjointed and not bothered. There's something, I don't know what's gone on. I don't know if people are upset with other people in the team, or the I don't know whether it's contract talk or whatever it is, but it's laughable that professional players can go out there and make the same mistakes again like that. You know, when they're given a great opportunity in front of everyone to make the same mistakes and to be laughed at again, because everyone says, oh, look, there you go. There's Arsenal. There's the Arsenal we know. You know, all the bluster about us being, oh, well, we've turned the corner this year. Now, look, they go up to the Northwest again and they fold, like, just like that, you know. And that's why we get laughed at. It's, you know, like I said, it's been happening for the last 6 or 7 years now. And, you know, what do you do? You know, you've got the same man in charge. You've got the same, it's the same players. Some of the players have gone from previous years, and the same thing is happening. The same way we prepare for teams, the same way we fold, you know, in second halves and let in stupid goals. I mean, the first goal, I can't understand why Was it Sane? He was on Bellerin's side, wasn't he? So why is Bellerin stopped not tracking him? Bellerin is the fastest player in world football. Why has he stopped sprinting? Why has he just gone and followed through with him and tracked him and then got the ball away? It's little things like that. Why have you given up on that situation? You know, and for me, that's unforgivable. You can't. You've got to give everything for 90 minutes plus injury time. And we didn't. We stopped playing after that equalising goal. And that's unforgivable.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And same goes for midweek. You know, we went 1-0 up and we looked like we're going to win it 2 or 3 out of Canter, and we went down to their level, stopped playing, stopped trying to attack, sat back a little bit. Arsenal have never been a team that can sit back well. We've done it 1 or 2 times, maybe against City a couple of years ago. We hit a formula that worked for us one off, but Arsenal work best when they're on the front foot, always. They, especially under Wenger, and it baffles me. And Michael makes a really good point that Joseph Gertz asked me a question saying he couldn't get it into 144 characters, so he had to direct message me. He said, Wenger stuck with the basic same squad, Neil, and substitution formula. This game was lost midweek by refusing to make more starting changes against Everton. Now we are left with a squad that is disgruntled, like Giroud, at flat Ozil and potential injuries to Coquelin, Ox and Sanchez. He's right. With Everton, I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but 3 games in a week, you look at that midweek one knowing it's before the Manchester City one, that's the one you make changes in, surely, isn't it, Neil, if you're going to make a couple of changes?
Yeah, you should do. I mean, just going back to what Mark said, which connects to this, about Ozil and how poor he was today. You know, he still refuses. Do you remember when we first bought him and he just never used to sub him, even when he was having really shocking performances? And he would never, ever sub him, never, not once. And when us lot were talking about it on WhatsApp, I said to him, it just doesn't happen. You know, Iwobi came off and Coquelin came off. And you just think, and Ozil's still on there. And it just makes you wonder. Okay, I put my hands in the air and I'll say a few pods ago, I said, he's got so much about him. He could be one of these kind of players, and to a certain extent, I still stand by that, you know, he's got so much class and talent that he could turn a game on the head. Even if he's had 88 shit minutes, he could take just one moment of brilliance and do something. But it just didn't look like that was going to happen from him today, because he was just, as the guy said, just standing around and doing nothing. So then you look at your team, and again, we said it before that it looks like we've got a fairly decent squad now. Or no, I'm not going to say decent, a good squad, because we have got players that can fit into pretty much every place, that can come on and do pretty much the same job. So you have got options. You know, he could have changed it today, where he could have had a few different players on the pitch. Even Lucas has been doing well. He could have come in. We could have even had Giroud in earlier. We don't know. I mean, there's just so many options for us. There's a worry about Sanchez, and he's had a few niggles lately, but he just keeps battling through it, as Sanchez does. But even at some point with him, he is only human. I always joke that he's not and he's a machine, but he is only human, and maybe that will catch up. And it could catch up at the very wrong moment. I mean, now I don't know, because I mean, now we're 9 points behind. We're just gonna. We're gonna be hopeful for a bit of luck on our side with the teams ahead of us. Them losing and dropping silly games in games that we don't expect them to drop points in, and then we've just got to start winning everything. But now, as you said, because changes weren't made, and you've got players getting pissed off because they're thinking, well, I'm actually not doing badly at the moment. I'm still not getting a start. You know, and quite rightly so, especially when we have got so many games in the short space of time. You've got to think, be a bit more clever and a bit more cuter with team selection, and think they're just as good as the other player that I'm going to rest today, and I'm still confident in them, because Wenger has always supported his players. He's always given them a full and thorough backing. So why can't he have that much faith when he's choosing a starting 11 where they may be a bit tired? If he's saying it from his own mouth, that they may be a bit tired, and think, well, okay, I've got good enough depth to make some changes, and we can still go ahead and put in a good performance. And that is baffling. It really is truly baffling. And I think that's where some questions need to be asked about the team management. And again, look, I'm not going to sit here and start slating Wenger till death, because, you know, I'm not going to, it's just not the way I'm going to approach it. But some of the question marks have to be raised there. It have to be, because it's not just about the players. But once you're on the pitch, it just looked so bereft of any desire. And that's what upsets me. I've always said, I can accept losses. All of us can. We're mature enough supporters to accept losses. It's not like when we were kids and every you know, if you lost something, it would be the end of the world and blah, blah, blah. You know, we can look back and analyse a game and think, well, all right, we've done our level best. We were maybe a little bit unlucky with a couple of decisions, and that turned the game on the head. But when it's watching something like this, where it looks like they just, none of them can be absolutely bothered to do anything apart from maybe one or two players, it is disgusting what Mark was saying. It's absolutely farcical. It's disgusting. When we're challenging, we're supposed to be title challengers. All the other teams are going to be looking at us, thinking, look at them, what a bunch of ballheads they are. You know, they're supposed to be the title challengers. We're the ones supposed to be afraid of them. It's all about this statement of intent. You asked me the question about finishing top of the Champions League. I said, yes, it was good. It was good. Doesn't matter if you got a hard team in the next round. It was good that we did finish top, because it's a statement of intent. It's about momentum. And that's what pisses me right off, that they can't be consistent. They can't hold their own against when they should. And for me, the manager should be accountable for trying to motivate them. But professional players should not need geeing up, in especially games like this, when they can, as Alexis is probably trying to tell them all, that they can smell blood, especially against a weakened team. It's just unbelievably frustrating, Jack. I don't know what else to say, mate.
Yeah, and especially when you look at this and you know if you want to win the title, which is surely the aim, it has to be the aim, this is a must-win game. So who's sitting there at half-time and saying, look, whatever happens here, we're walking out with 3 points here. And 2 minutes into the second half, Mark, they get a goal, and it's like, it's not even a goal that's like a screamer from 30 yards. We're all over the place at the back. I mean, Wenger come out just now and said 2 goals are 2 offside goals. I didn't see the offside for the second goal. I don't see where that's coming. I'm going to have to watch it again. I saw a great ball from De Bruyne that I thought Sterling was onside, but maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, and the first one was borderline. Either way, we were crap. We couldn't pass the ball for the whole game. It's nothing to do with the offsides, is it, Mark?
No, it's nothing to do. And, you know, that just adds fuel to the fire for me, you know, him coming out blaming the officials. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, if you can't come out, I'm not asking him to rip his players to shreds. But he should be man enough to stand there and say that, you know, we got what we deserved. We didn't produce what we should have produced. You know, don't stop blaming the officials, right? Because, as you say, the first one was like a hair's breadth either way, right? And actually, you know, it was like back of Monreal's heels playing or whatever. You get them, some of them you don't get them, right? The second one, well, I didn't, what part of that was offside? It was 5 yards offside. Well, you know, I don't see that. But the fact of the matter is, he's just glossing over, isn't he? He's glossing over the fact that today's defeat was completely avoidable. This is the thing that pisses me off the most. Neil's quite right. You know, we're not all going to jump on here and start going, hey, Wenger's got to go, this, that, the other, all this, that. Right? It's not about that. It's about the manner in the way we lost. It's about the way they stood on, you know, supposedly being title challengers, and they folded, you know, like a wet flannel. It's the manner in which we lost. It's so upsetting and so outrageous today. You know, we just went down with a whimper, and that's the thing. If we lose there in 90 minutes and we have the best go we can and we lose 2-1, this doesn't take place. This, you know, this sort of like negative feel to it, to the podcast. Exactly. I'd be saying, look, you know what, we give everything we had, and you know, we come up short, we're unlucky or whatever, but my point is that defeat today was totally and utterly avoidable.
Yes.
And it was avoidable through the players' effort and nothing else. They're all wonderful footballers. You know, we have got a great team, but you wouldn't think it, would you, when you look at that second half? You know, so what is wrong? What makes that team produce that pile of shit in the second half? What is it? I'd love to ask them, stand there and ask them all. You know, you see how competitive the Premier League is week in, week out. Teams like Bournemouth, people like that, are built on work ethic. You know, and it gets you somewhere. You know, these players haven't got half the ability that Arsenal have got. Our reserve team have got more ability than teams like Bournemouth, right? But I tell you what, you see Bournemouth play, and that's why they give us a problem, because their work ethic was correct, and they're drilled, and they're ready to fight. And that lot today, they deserve to be hanging their heads in shame, a lot of them. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. And they talk about getting paid this much money, that much money. You know, you've got to go out. You've got to go out and give your best first before
exactly.
you can get that.
Exactly.
It's terrible. And the writing was on the wall, boys, at Old Trafford. We served up a similar plate of shit at Old Trafford, right? But we got out of jail, as you said earlier, with the last minute thing. But then for 89 minutes or for 92 minutes, we were the same as we were there today, guys. What's going on? Where is it? Where's the fight? Where's the desire? And all week long, you hear them talking about, yeah, this is, you know, we're going to try and do it this season. We want to try and challenge for the league. I don't see it, though. I don't see it when you serve that kind of shit up to me. I don't get it. It destroys the fan base because the fan base are angry at that. And that's what it is. It's not about the fact we lost the game. It's about that it's the same old
manner.
We've been watching this game for 5 years, Dad, haven't we? I could send you back, right, 5 years, pick a game out and go watch that, and it'll be the same. So, you know, something's not right. Something's not right.
Mark, I there could be distractions, as you said earlier. There could well be distractions. There could be a little bit of unrest in the camp because of contract talk. Oh, he's earning more money than I am, or blah, blah, blah. But I'm sorry, I think at the end of the day, and I've said it countless of times before, and I'll say it one more time, so you're all professionals and you're out there to do a job. Correct. And you're not earning shit money, are you? For Christ's sake. They're not fucking tramps living on the bloody street where this game is going to make all the difference to them.
No.
They are earning good money. They're professionals and they've got everything going for them in their life. But what it boils down to me is one thing. It's your desire to play a game of football, whatever context you're playing that game in. As I said, whether it's in the car park or whether it's in the local common or whether it's playing a World Cup final, it's still a game of football. And most people would love to just kick a ball around and play. And when you're playing for a team, you want to win, surely, don't you? Or you want to give your all and your best effort. And what I saw today is, you know, eight or nine players come out there with a sulk.
They're going through the motions. That's exactly what it was.
As soon as that equaliser went in, they just all sulked and thought, it's your fault. It's not my fault. It's not my problem. It's not my problem. It is your fucking problem, lads. It is.
There was about six places you could have put the error for that first goal.
Exactly.
And about 2 minutes later, there was a stoppage in the game and not one player is talking to anyone.
No.
Saying, look, sort it out. Nothing. No one's talking to anyone. No one's even worried about the fact that it's 1-1. They're not adapting or changing the way things are happening. And what I do not get, Mark, is how are we... I keep saying, like, this season that I for some reason think we're way better than what our players do. And maybe even what Arsene Wenger does. Because I don't know why we set up in big games, other than Chelsea, in a very, very negative style. We can't keep the ball. We get overrun in midfield. The other team looks technically superior to what we do. I don't understand it, Michael. What am I missing? Why aren't we believing in our own ability to go and take the game to the other team? We don't do it, do we?
No. I don't want to keep harping back to it, but I mean, I can't believe that it's just one person being out of that team, which is obviously Cazorla, that's affecting all of this. I think he played against PSG, didn't he, when we played him away, and we were getting a bit of a murdering over there. But I'm like you guys. I don't understand how we've gone from having all that spirit and all that effort we were talking about a couple of weeks ago about how we're maybe drawing games which we should have won, you know, the Middlesbrough game and stuff like that. To put in performance like where they just can't be bothered, where, like you said, no one's talking to each other, no one's showing any sign of leadership. I don't know where that's come from. Unless something's gone on that we don't know about, they just seem like players that have just switched off, you know, just absolutely disconnected and switched off from the cause. You know, I just couldn't get my head around what I was seeing with, you know, with what Neville said, people walking around and stuff, and the disconnect with Sanchez wanting stuff to happen quicker and people to do certain things, and everybody else was doing something else. And for me, the free kick at the end, you know, right at the end, summed it up for me. It was just an absolute joke. I mean, what the fuck was going on there? You know, you got a free kick, you got all the boys in the box, just fucking kick it in there. But no, Cech wants to come down, and then Ozil wants to take it. And I don't know if you saw at the end, Wenger was having a right go at Cech, because he was like saying, you messed everything up. He wanted the ball just in the box. But we're fucking things like that up. You know, it's the 95th minute, and we're dilly-dallying over whether we're going to... And then when Cech came, all he did was pass it 5 yards to Ozil, and then he didn't beat it into the box. It's like, what was the point of that?
Embarrassment.
It was just embarrassing. And it's a mystery. I do not know what's happened in the last couple of weeks, why these guys that looked like they were all on the same page, they were all in it together. The goals, when we scored the goals, we're all celebrating, all jumping together and everything. To what we've seen the last two games. And especially you would have thought, after qualifying like we did, you know, first in the group, as Neil said, you know, and made a statement of intent, yeah, we finished top, fuck it, you know, don't, who cares, you know, we've got Bayern, fuck them, you know. But from then, it's just gone downhill, and I don't understand where that's come from, unless there's something behind the scenes that we don't know. Maybe there's been a big thing, you know, there's smoke coming out with Ox, getting pissed off and wanting to go and things like that, you know. But that's the sort of thing with us. We're all nice guys, aren't we? So if one person's upset, it's probably had a chain reaction.
Affecting the whole.
It's probably what's happened, because we're all so fucking nice. We're all you know, matey's upset. Oh, I'm a bit down for him as well. And it, you know, we're not. Oh, just get on with it. You know, do your job. It seems like whatever's happened has affected everyone, and it's not good enough. They're professionals. They need to be stronger than that. And they're not. They're blatantly not. And it's there for everyone to see yet again.
I mean, can I quickly just say, rather than them do, I see a lot of nice stuff on the Arsenal website, which is great. All these videos, all the lads do, all this comedy stuff and little quizzes that they have with each other and little stuff they do with the ball and all kinds of things. And obviously a lot of charity work with kids, which is all nice to see. But at the end of the day, we're a football club and we have to be challenging for titles, etc. And I'd rather see all of that come first than all of that other stuff come second. And that might tie in with what Michael's saying, because they appear to be all very good pals off the pitch, which is great, which is what is needed to have that camaraderie. But it's got to be there for the right reasons as well. Do you know, it's got to be there for when they want to fight together as a unit, like the Invincible side did at that time when everyone stood up for whoever it was against in the Old Trafford saga, where Martin Keown went mad and Mistroy hit the bar. They all fought for each other. Lauren went on record and saying, I didn't regret anything that I did that day because I was fighting for my teammates. He said, he's actually gone and said that on record. I had no regrets of my actions, even though I got penalised for it. And, you know, it's just stuff like that you want to see. Yes, you can all be nice, but you've also got to fight for each other. And that is what we're clearly lacking, especially these last two games. There is no fight. Everton had nothing about them midweek, nothing. And then it's the crowd G'd them up, and then they just completely took over, and we just froze. We literally froze like we did today. It's like we didn't even turn up. And that's what's frustrating. Sorry, Jack, I'm just so livid.
You're absolutely right, Neil. You know, I mean, as you say, you know, in them days when we had a team that could win the league, right? That we touched on it before on different pods, haven't we? You know, they'd stand in the tunnel and the Vieira would literally look them in the eyes and go, hey, do you want to lose? Do you want to lose nicely?
Exactly.
We can play football around you, or do you want to fight? It's up to you. If you want to fight, you know, fine. We'll turn around to anything. This mob, they've got one way of playing, one way only, right? And as soon as something goes wrong, end of. Forget it. That's it. As soon as something goes wrong and they lose that little bit of positivity that they've got, they're finished. And that is how fragile they are. They are very, very fragile people.
Yeah. I look at our team and I wonder who's the ones that are in that mould of that Invincible team that just would do or die for the club. And I see Coquelin doing it every week. I don't know why there's so much criticism for Coquelin, because I always feel like when the ships are down or when we're playing well, he's always the same. He's consistently, he wants it more than anyone. But we've got players in our team now, Neil, you know, such as like Koscielny, maybe one of the best centre-backs we've had under Wenger, probably. Mm, yeah. You've got players like Theo Walcott, you've got players like Ox, you've got players that have been there for, even Ozil and Alexis, none of them are going to be remembered by me unless they go and win the title. And they're not going to do it. And I don't understand why they sit there and they think, oh yeah, I'm doing great because, you know, look at my stats, I'm doing this, that and the other. If you don't win the title, you can ask Cesc Fabregas, because I don't, if I walk past him in the street, I just keep walking. Because I don't care if you've not won it. I don't care. You're no one to me if you've not won it. You've got to go and win it. And we've got everyone there to go and win it, but there's something collectively just completely absent. I don't get it.
It's like people don't remember. You think about all the glamour sports, all the top sports out there. Whoever really remembers a runners up, it's always the winners that you remember. You don't ever talk. You know, when you look back at past winners, who do you look at? Whether it be tennis or whatever sports it is, cricket, it was darts. You don't call darts sport, but you know, just stuff like that. And you'll always look at the winners. You don't say, oh, who were the runners up in the last 10 years? It's always a focal point on the winners. And I agree with you, Jack. I completely agree. But for me, it's also about the effort of actually at least challenging for it, at least doing everything you possibly can to win the thing. If you don't win it because of maybe some bad luck or a couple of really crap decisions by, you know, your team or your manager had no control over, then that's understandable. You have to take it like a man or however you want to, and just think, well, all right, okay, the team did everything they could. There's nothing they could have done about that. That's fair enough. But when you just have a gutless performance. Two in a row now for me. It's not just one. It's just a one-off. I wasn't saying much about the Everton game to you guys. I know you guys were all ranting, but I was keeping quiet because I thought it might just be a blip and let's see what happens on Sunday. And then I'll stand up and make some comments. And what I saw, you guys were completely right. I saw completely, it was almost like, it was identical. Both performances mirrored each other. It was unbelievable. And now I am with you lot and I think, I don't know what to say. Jack, it's so difficult to even understand or comprehend what has happened in the last week. Because I don't think any of us can really put a finger on it. It's just indescribable. Because what could it be? What could be so bad within the locker, you know, within the changing rooms or in the background that could make them come out and do absolutely fuck all today in the second half?
Yeah,
what can it be?
There has to be something said. It's just such a huge moment for our season, halftime, today. You know, we're not playing that well, but we're 1-0 up. It's so important that, you know, we keep things tight and we break on them and break on them properly. Because they did look like they were there for the taking in the first half.
They
really did. And their defence is shocking. It's so bad. I mean, Leicester just ruined them, and Leicester were awful this season.
Yeah.
And but you know, we had all the players there to do it, but Mike Marks said, like you boys said, Ozil was a complete passenger in the whole game. And he's key to our us going forward. But what I don't get, Mark, is if you're going to set up with the intention of countering, I don't really see the purpose to Mesut Ozil in a team that sits 10 men behind the ball for 80 minutes. I mean, he was dire. But I'm not even sure if he should have started if we were going to play like that from the start. But obviously, we weren't intending to. It just doesn't make sense to me, Mark. It's almost like playing with 10.
I honestly think the players might have done that again today themselves. Do you remember when we did it there? We won 2-0.
Yes.
And the players have come out with the fact that basically they took it into their own hands and decided to not go gung-ho and be tight. I get the feeling they did that again at one point. Went 1-0 up and said, right, let's try and hold it. It is so, as you say, it's so weird. It's unexplainable. You know, that we took our foot off the gas like that. It was like, let's get a goal and just bank up, and we've done it before here and we can do it again. You know, it's quite a similar side that exists, you know, that did it. And I just think maybe that was it. You know, I mean, when you talk about discord in the squad, I don't see that. When you see the training pictures and all that, they're all laughing and joking. I actually think it's the other way around. I think they're all too comfy. I think it's all a bit of a laugh and a fucking joke and a ho ho ho, you know. And then when it comes to it on a Sunday, it's a bit of like, well, do what you want, boys. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, okay, we're setting out this team. You all know how to play. I've told you what to do. Just go and do it. There's no real game plan. There never has been with Wenger, I don't think. Even in the greatest teams, he puts teams together and can spot a great player. But they kind of almost do it themselves. You know, it's like the half time thing when he's fairly, you know, he don't say anything for the first 10 minutes. They all have to sit there quiet and have a drink and let them just calm down, and then he gives them a few instructions before they go out. You know, that's been said by a number of ex-players, including the Invincible team. You know, Parler said it. You know, is that outdated now, guys? You know, it's a far cleverer game. It's a far more technical game now. You know, you need to be sitting down from the minute the whistle blows at half time and talk about what's happened in the first 45 and how you're going to counter things and how you're going to change things, you know, and what we're going to do to make sure we get over the line here. Not let's all fucking go out again and wait till the 70th minute and I'll put a few people over a kick around. That's all fucking gone. You know, I can't even get that in his brain. That's all gone, mate. That's years behind. You know, he knew it was going wrong at half time, so he made a change. He put Sanya on, right, which changed it down the right, pushed Sterling right. He made some changes, and it worked for them. You know, because that's what he weren't just gonna settle for that, was he, Guardiola? He was gonna go, I can't go out this for that 45. So he did something about it. What do we do? The writing was on the wall. He sends them back out because we're winning 1-0. The lead ends, and we all just go through the motions, still doing the same things. It's almost like, and I've said it before, when we let a goal in, they'll just put their heads down and go, oh, it's nothing to do with me. And walk back to the halfway, and I know it's not my fault. It's that not taking responsibility. We've got a fucking team of them. We've got a squad of them, right? None of them want it. None of them want to take responsibility on their shoulders for something that goes wrong in a game. As long as we're passing it around, making pretty patterns and winning games, right, and beating Stokes and beating people like that, it's all right. Because nothing, they never really get challenged. But when it comes to games like this that actually define the season, we are completely short because we haven't got the mentality to win the games. And if it happens, like it did against Chelsea, where we came out and we were just all up for it that day, right? I honestly believe that's just how it happens. We're either up for it or we ain't up for it. We went out and we fucking destroyed them for 90 minutes. But I don't think that was like a meant thing or a planned thing. I think it just happens as it happens over Arsenal, I promise you. I really do, because that today proves it. It proves to me that they didn't really have an idea what to do second half, and no one was going to fucking provide one either. Let me tell you that for nothing. So get through the game, try and nick an equaliser. Yeah, all right. But apart from that, boys, it ain't changing. And that's the way it is.
It's almost as if they were thinking about the festivities already, maybe.
They don't want to try, but they just go through the motions because they don't really know what to do. You know, because it isn't in them to actually be what they think they should be, and to be league champions. I mean, look what he's done at Chelsea since he got fucking annihilated that day by us, right? He has turned that team round, changed the formation, turned the team round, put players that haven't played for 2 or 3 years, Moses, people like that, the big Spanish kid on the left-hand side, I think he's Spanish, I don't know where he is or he ain't. But he's put together a different team for that come and got smashed by us, right? Because he thought, right, this ain't working. And then suddenly, they've gone on a run that is just unrivaled. They now look solid. They now look organised. They've got a team spirit. You know, they get over the line properly. They're everything about them makes them look like potential league champions. Everything about them. He's even got Costa playing controlled football. Hazard's firing. They're all up for it. You can see that team have decided, with that manager, we're going to win the league this year, right? And he's fucking working, because 11 wins on the spin is no fluke. But you compare what he's done with that team to what's happening at Arsenal, and it is literally like chalk and cheese. That would never happen. You know, he will always make a substitution on the 70th minute. He will always take the same players off the easy targets. He will always do the things that he's done since he got there. And I'm afraid, guys, that it is out of date. It is on an expiry date, I'm afraid. You know, and listen, I'm not calling him for him to go. But something has to change in terms of the way we set up for matches, whether that's input from somebody outside the club, whether that's a coach, whether that's a you know, but no one will question him either. So you're just stuck in that. But just compare what's happened since that day when we said, well, this is the season we're going to win the league. Compare what's happened to the two teams, Chelsea and Arsenal, and you'll see the difference in the management styles. Astounding difference.
It's really. It's sad. I'm not criticising anything you've said, Mark, because what you said is bang on. It just actually sounds like a broken record. It just sounds like it's deja vu. Yeah. It just sounds like I've heard you say those exact same words before.
Yeah.
It really does.
We have, mate. And that's not
a good thing, is it?
No, it's like an old feeling that you don't want to come back.
Yeah.
You know, you go, oh, fucking hell, I've been here before. I don't like
it. It's like that, you know, recurring nightmare that some people have, isn't it?
It's honestly just it's just not a nice feeling, because you know, guys, what's coming after this as well. You know, it's not like, oh, it's a game today and let's move on. And you know the signs are there now for us to go and fucking implode. You know it is, because I'm not sure there's anyone with big enough character to pull us out of it. You know, and then we have a charge towards the end and get in top four.
Yeah.
Same old.
I just hope I'm wrong. But there you go.
Yeah, no, but it's, you know, you're right. The writing's on the wall. And saw a tweet here from @gstobert that said, Ozil straight down the touchline, along with all the Arsenal players, only Cech and Bellerin stage for the away fans.
Wow.
I mean, Jeez. I mean, do we expect anything different, Michael? I mean, we care. We've been talking about it the whole podcast. Do they care enough? Do they care about the club enough? Do they care about winning the title for Arsenal enough? Do they really care enough? Are they more concerned about the, you know, the next big contract?
I think I think they care. I think they probably, a lot of them went off there out of embarrassment. They just wanted to get off as quickly as they could. But I think with the trouble with Wenger's lack of rotation, I think he's done something which he's done in the past, and that he's made people comfortable. We all know that he's got a preferred starting 11 now, you know, and long as they're fit and if they're not injured, you know, they're the ones that are there. And I think by not rotating as much and not putting, you know, giving Giroud some minutes. I mean, Lucas, since he scored that hat trick in the Champions League, he's only had 3 minutes, I think, on the pitch.
That's right.
And that was against Everton. You know, he's had three minutes. He didn't get any minutes today. He scored a hat. You know, so since then, that guy, he would have walked off that pitch on a high, even though he doesn't show it in his face because he looks like a fucking an assassin. But you know, he would have come off that pitch, you know, with the hat trick ball buzzing, thinking, okay. But he's had 3 minutes since then. 3 minutes, boys. You know, that's not enough for someone to keep that momentum going and keep people on their toes thinking, shit, he's coming. You know, he's got a hat trick and he's been rewarded for it. He's started ahead of me. You know, so all these guys have, you know, that's probably what it could be. You know, these guys are comfortable. They know they're in the team as long as they're fit. You know, and I think that's probably part of the reason, you know, because they probably know they're all right, we've chucked this game again. You know, who we got next game? We've got Palace. All right, we're at home. That's going to be nice and easy. That will start off a run of games where we probably will win a run of games again, get everyone happy until we get to February when we play Bayern, and then the writing's on the wall again when we play a couple of hard games again. You know, so it's just Groundhog Day. It's just, it literally is Groundhog season, I should say. It's the same thing all the time. I put this picture up every year for the last three seasons of Bill Murray and the groundhog in the car. I post it up on Twitter and Facebook, and that's all I put up there. And when I finish this pod, I'm going to do it again. You're going to see it. I do it every year.
Every year. So you've had that. You've had that.
So it's amazing. It's just all the time. And again, we're not saying we want Wenger out and stuff like that, but I don't think anything's going to change. And I know Mark's looking to maybe getting some more input from someone. It's not going to change. I don't think anything's going to change until he goes and we get somebody in who has that modern way of looking at the game, who's on the touchline, who's analysing it every minute, every time he sees something happen. You know, because we're watching him in the second half. Me and my wife, we're watching him, and they cut to Wenger on the bench, and I think they cut to him he's got a plaster on his finger, and he cut his hand or something, and he's playing with the plaster, and he's just looking into the distance. You know, he's just zoned out. You know, and I said to my wife, what is he doing there? What is he thinking? You know, it's all gone to shit. And what's going through his head there? Is he thinking about changing it, and or is he waiting for the 70th minute to do the same thing?
Just very quickly, just as much as we detest Mourinho, at least one thing that you've got to give him credit for, that if a player's playing shit, he doesn't give a shit who it is. He doesn't care what name they've got on the back of their shirt. They'll be taken off. And I mean, that's where Wenger probably does lack, I've got to say, a little bit of balls. He just doesn't have them to say, right, Ozil hasn't worked today, I'm taking the man off. And, you know, he takes off a player which I thought was far better. Well, two, Coquelin and Iwobi. So it's very sad. Sorry to cut in there. Sorry.
No, but no, it's, no, that's fine, mate. But I just, that whole way is his whole way of in-game management. It's very dated, and we've said it timelessly, countless times. Last season, we said it when things were going wrong. Something needs to change. But unfortunately, I don't think anything's going to change until the time comes when someone else comes in and whoever it's going to be is going to be. I don't think it's going to be someone, you know, let's say as old as Wenger. I think it's going to be someone more of the new mold of managers that are around now who analyze every single minute and then review it. And then, you know, when the next game comes, they know what to do. It's just frustrating. It's just frustrating that we're in the same boat again after it looking a little bit more promising this year. It's not going to be like this. And it is. It's happened again. It's just,
And already we kind of know how the season's going to pan out already in December, which is just struggling to know where to go from here on to the next game, I guess. But it's been an awful week. Thanks to, we're not going to be able to get through the questions at samiam_21, at Bandog UK, at the original Del Boy, you always ask questions, and a few others as well. I think at AFC_Unningham also asked some questions too. But we're probably not going to be able to get those questions because we had to cut it short today. I'm not sure I want to do predictions for West Brom, boys, because who cares at the moment? I mean, we'll probably think about it in a few days and then tweet them out, shall we?
We'll tweet out.
But thanks for getting on. It's hard to know. It's been a terrible week, but we got to lift ourselves somehow. We've got 8 days to rest, so no excuses there. And hopefully we'll keep following. We'll keep hoping for the best, and hope we can.
Yeah, absolutely,
out,
but, Jack.
Yeah, we're not going to give up. None of us will give up.
No, we won't.
But it's very raw after the whistle. Very raw.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know.
But no, credit to all you boys really to be discussing it, because I didn't want to talk for 1 second after that game. So you made it all possible.
And to you, Jack. We'll and to you, Jack.
So yeah. Appreciate it, boys, and keep your questions coming in. Appreciate it. We'll answer all those ones on the next podcast. We always get to the questions. So up the Arsenal. Follow us on all the usual pages, iTunes, at Purely Arsenal FP on Twitter, at Football Purists, and I don't know, keep the faith, up the Arsenal.